بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah. And may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until yawm al-qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the next chapter. And in these series of lessons, as you will know, we have been studying and teaching various rulings and various aspects linked to janaiz, to the funeral. In last lesson, we covered the carrying and the following of the funeral procession. And in this chapter, we're going to discuss the janaza prayer itself and some of the rulings relating to the janaza prayer. I've mentioned previously that when we're studying fiqh, the first thing that we do is we ask, what is the ruling of this action? For example, we'll say, what is the ruling of the prayer? And the ruling of the prayer is that it is wajib, it is an obligation. What is the ruling of using a miswak? And the ruling or the hukum in the sharia is, it is mustahab, it is recommended and highly encouraged, and it is nafal optional. Similar to this, when it comes to the janaza prayer, salatul janaza, what is the ruling of the sharia? What is the hukum of the sharia regarding the janaza prayer? And the ulama, they have said that the ruling is, it is fard kifaya. It is a communal obligation. And this means that as long as there are a number of Muslims who pray the janaza prayer, then the obligation and the responsibility upon all of the other Muslims has been lifted. And if nobody prays this janaza prayer, then every single Muslim bears the sin and the responsibility until somebody prays the janaza prayer. And it is something which is highly recommended and encouraged. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself used to pray the janaza prayer over those who had passed away amongst the companions, and he used to encourage others to pray the janaza prayer. What is the wisdom behind praying the janaza prayer? Or what is the benefit of praying the janaza prayer? And we can say that the wisdom or the benefit behind praying the janaza prayer is of four. Number one, in order for there to be a supplication for the one who has passed away, and in order for the Muslims to seek forgiveness for his sins, as thus Allah has mercy upon him and his sins are forgiven. Number two, for those who are praying, as those who are praying the janaza prayer, it acts as a reminder regarding death, and it acts as a reminder for the hereafter. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to say regarding visiting the graveyards, كُنْتُ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ. I used to forbid you from visiting the graveyards. الآن فزوروها فإنه أو فإنها تذكركم عن الآخرة. However, now go and visit the graveyards because it reminds you of the hereafter. And this is the same with praying the janaza, praying the funeral prayer. That one of the benefits is that those who are praying, it reminds us of death and it reminds us of the hereafter. Thirdly, through praying the janaza prayer, we're following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the fourth benefit is that not only are the sins of the person who has died, are the sins forgiven of him, but also those who are praying, that our sins and our du'as are also accepted and our sins are forgiven. The ruling of the janaza prayer is that every single Muslim who dies, young or old, male or female, regardless of how righteous that person was, or how much of a sinner or an innovator that person was, then we pray the janaza prayer over that person. As long as a person dies and he's a Muslim, birran kana am fajiran, whether he's righteous or whether he was disobedient to Allah, whether he was upon the sunnah, whether he was upon innovations, regardless of the different sect and the group that he was from or the different masjid that he prayed in, as long as he dies and he's a Muslim, then we pray the janazah prayer over him. And the only time we wouldn't pray the janazah prayer is if the actions that this person used to do were so severe that they were to the level of kufr, of disbelief, and this person left the fold of Islam. He died as a kafir. So for example, somebody who was prostrating to an idol, as an example, or somebody who was making tawaf around graveyards or around a grave, worshipping the person in the grave, and therefore his act was so severe it took him outside the fold of Islam. Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Quran, وَلَا تُصَلِّي عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا. Do not pray over anyone amongst them, i.e. the disbelievers. وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ. And don't stand over their graves. إِنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Indeed, they disbelieved in Allah and His Messenger. وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. And they died whilst they were in a state of fisq, disobedience to Allah. So this ayah shows that those who disbelieved in Allah and His Messenger, it's not permitted for us to pray janazah over them or to make dua for them or to stand over their graves in order to supplicate for them. Anybody else who dies from amongst the Muslims and he hasn't reached a level of kufr, regardless of how bad his disobedience is, then we pray over such a person. As long as we know that this person, he died and he was a Muslim. And as I said, the one who dies the death and he's a non-Muslim, then we don't pray over him. However, we might have a situation in which we're not sure. The person who died, was he a Muslim or was he not a Muslim? Or there's some doubt regarding his Islam. So in this type of situation, what do we do? If a person dies and we're doubtful about his Islam, we don't know, was he a Muslim or was he a non-Muslim? And nobody is there to tell us that he was a Muslim or a non-Muslim. What do we do? As an example, something which realistically could occur, we have an old person who accepted Islam. He was a non-Muslim and then he accepted Islam. And he dies. And there remains behind him his son or his child. And this child dies. We don't know that his son, was he after he accepted Islam or was he before he accepted Islam? So we don't know that is his son now a Muslim or is he a non-Muslim? And we can't tell either. And there's nobody to tell us that this person, was he a Muslim or was he a non-Muslim? In this type of situation, what do we do? The fuqaha, rahimahumullah, they discuss this issue in the books of fiqh. Man shakka fi islamihi. The person whose Islam was a doubt. And they said that there's a number of different scenarios in which a person might die and there's doubt regarding his Islam. We have a person who dies in the lands of the Muslims, in a Muslim country. But it's doubted whether he was a Muslim or a non-Muslim. So if a person dies in a Muslim country and we can see some indicators that he was a Muslim, then we consider him to be a Muslim and we pray over him. As an example, a person dies in a Muslim country and we don't know whether he was a Muslim or a non-Muslim for sure. However, we see that, for example, in his car he had a CD of the Quran, as an example. Or the ulama have mentioned that he was circumcised. Now, although this doesn't tell us in certainty that this was a Muslim, but it's an indicator showing us that perhaps he was a Muslim. And therefore, we pray the janazah over this person. So this is a person whose Islam we doubt, we don't know, but he died in the lands of the Muslims, and we saw some physical apparent indicators of his Islam. Whether it was a copy of the Quran in his house, or something in his car, maybe a book, or that he had been circumcised, therefore we pray over him. Then there's another situation in which a person who we don't know, was he a Muslim or non-Muslim, he dies in the land of the Muslims. However, there isn't any indicator that he was a Muslim, and neither is there any sign or indicator that he was a kafir. So we don't know whether, for example, let's say this person, he hasn't been circumcised, or we don't see a copy of Quran or any book in his house, and we don't know anything about him. This person, the fuqaha, said that because he died in the country of the Muslims, and the asl, the base ruling is that the Muslims live in the country of the Muslims. So this person, we also pray the janazah prayer over him. So this is a person who dies in the country of the Muslims, and we don't see any indicators, neither proving his Islam, nor disproving his Islam. This person we say, or this person we pray his janazah prayer. Then we find another person, and he dies in the land of the Muslims. However, we see on him signs and indicators of him being a non-Muslim. So for example, we might find in his car a cross or a crucifix, or a book other than the books of Islam. Or we see, for example, that he hasn't been circumcised. In this situation, what do? A person who dies in the lands of the Muslims, and we don't know whether he's a Muslim or not, but we can see certain signs showing that perhaps he was a non-Muslim. He hasn't been circumcised, or there's a crucifix that's found in his house or in his car. Here, the scholars differed. Some of the scholars said that as long as he has died in the country of the Muslims, then we pray janazah over him. Because these signs, they're mere signs. They don't say in certain that this person has died as a non-Muslim. And therefore we pray over him. And other scholars said that no, we don't pray over him because these signs and these indicators, for example, he had a crucifix in his car or a Bible in his car or in his home, this take us towards the opinion that he died as a non-Muslim. And in this there's a difference of opinion. Then we have another situation in which a person, we don't know if he's a Muslim or a non-Muslim, but he dies in the country of the non-Muslims. And this person, he has on him signs of Islam. So for example, as mentioned, maybe he's been circumcised, or there's a copy of Quran in his car, or an Islamic book in his car. Here, what do we do? Do we say that because he died in the country of the non-Muslims, therefore we don't pray over him? Or do we say, no, because he had certain indicators and certain signs saying that he was a Muslim, then we pray over him. And here we say that in this situation, even though he died in the country of the non-Muslims, we still pray over this person. Because of these signs or these indicators, there is hope that this person died as a Muslim. And then we have a situation in which a person, we knew he was a Muslim. We knew for certainty that he was a Muslim. However, afterwards we're in doubt. Did he leave Islam or did he remain upon Islam? Did he go out or exit from the fold of Islam, or did he remain as a Muslim? And this person, the fuqaha have mentioned that we pray over this person. Because anything which is established with certainty, we knew for certain that he was a Muslim. And because we're only doubtful whether he remained a Muslim or a non-Muslim, then we go back to the certainty, and that is that he died as a Muslim, and therefore we pray his janazah over him. This is a summary of some of the situations that we might find a person in where we doubt whether this person was a Muslim or a non-Muslim, and whether we should pray janazah over this person or we should not pray janazah over this person. So, to summarize, we say that as long as a person dies and he's a Muslim, regardless of how righteous he is or how disobedient he is, how sinful he is, which sect he is from or she is from, then we pray the janazah prayer over this person. If, however, we're sure that this person was a disbeliever or his aqeedah was such that it took him out of the fold of Islam, then it's not permitted for us to pray upon this person. Now, there's certain Muslims that it isn't an obligation that we have to pray over them, but it's permitted, meaning it's optional. Certain Muslims, if they pass away, it's optional and recommended to pray over them, but it isn't an obligation. So the first of these is a child who dies before the age of puberty. If a child dies and the child is an infant, or is young, then it's not an obligation that we have to pray over this child. Rather, it's something which is optional and perhaps recommended. And the evidence is this, is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha in Musnad Imam Ahmad and Sunan Abi Dawud, that the son of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and his name was Ibrahim, he passed away when he was 18 months, 1 year and 6 months. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not pray the janazah over him. So this therefore is an evidence that if a Muslim infant dies under the age of puberty, it's not an obligation that we have to pray over him. But it is something which is recommended, because we have other instances in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did pray a janazah over a young child. And therefore this is optional and it is recommended, but it is not an obligation. And also, when it comes to a fetus, i.e. a baby, and this baby is born, and it is born in death, meaning when it comes out, then the baby has already died. The same situation applies here. That is permitted to pray over this baby that is born in a state of death, but it is not an obligation. And in one of the ahadith which we previously mentioned, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was speaking about the funeral procession, and if a funeral procession is going, where should the people be standing? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Al-raqibu yamshi khalf al-janaza," that a person who is riding, whether it's a horse or a camel or even in a car, then this person should remain behind the janaza. "Wal-mashi haythu sha'a minha," and the one who is walking can walk wherever he wants. خَلْفَهَا وَأَمَامَهَا وَعَنْ يَمِينِهَا وَعَنْ شِمَالِهَا, the person who is walking can walk in front of the janazah or behind the janazah, on the right hand side of the janazah or on the left hand side of the janazah. And we mentioned previously in the hadith which is collected by At-Tirmidhi that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, a number of times they used to walk in front of the janazah. And for this reason, the fuqaha have mentioned that when there's a funeral procession going, then it is better, it is more recommended for people to walk in front of the janazah as opposed to being behind the janazah, because this was the action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, وَالسَّقَطُ يُسَلَّى عَلَيْهَا, as for a fetus, a baby that is born in death, then the prayer may be performed upon it. So therefore this is something which is recommended, however it isn't an obligation. This was regarding a baby that is born and it comes out and it has died. However, sometimes we have a miscarriage whereby the baby might die inside the womb of the mother. Should the janazah be prayed over or in this situation or not? And the ulama, the fuqaha, rahimahumullah, they have mentioned that if the fetus or the baby inside the womb of the mother, if it has completed 4 months, i.e. 120 days, then here it is permitted for the janazah to be prayed over the fetus. I.e. four months of pregnancy have passed, and then after this, the fetus, there is a miscarriage and it dies. In this situation, it's permitted to pray the janazah, but it's not an obligation. And we have the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الصادق المصدوق, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and he's the one who is truthful, and he's the one whose truthfulness has been testified to. He said, إن خلق أحدكم يجمع في بطن أمه أربعين يوما نطفة, that the creation of one of you in the womb of his mother comes together for 40 days. He is a nutfa, a sperm cell. ثم يكون علقة مثل ذلك, and then it is like a clotted form of blood for 40 more days. ثم يكون مضغة مثل ذلك, and then for 40 more days it becomes something which has some type of shape. ثُمَّ يُبْعَثُ إِلَيْهِ مَلَكًا, then after this, i.e. after 40 plus 40 plus 40, 120 days, after this, the angel is sent. فَيَنْفُخُ فِيهِ رُوحٌ, And then the angel blows the ruh, the soul, into the fetus. وَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتٍ. And then the angel is ordered with four things. بِكَتْبِ رِزْقِهِ. That the angel then has to write down the decree of the baby regarding his provisions. وَأَجَلِهِ. And how long he is going to live. وَعَمَلِهِ. And the actions that he is going to do. وَشَقِيٌّ أَمْ سَعِيدٌ. And whether he will be somebody who lives a life of happiness or life of sadness and wretchedness. The point here is that for 40 days, the fetus remains a sperm in the womb of the mother. And then 40 days after this, an alaqa, a clotted blood. And then 40 days after this, mudgha. And then after these 120 days, 3 times 40, then the ruh is blown into the fetus. And here this fetus becomes a person. So after the passing of 120 days, 4 months of pregnancy, then if the fetus dies, then we can pray janazah, but it is not an obligation. As for before the 3 months, 120 days, then the janazah is not to be prayed over the fetus that is miscarried. And this hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, it is in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Also, the group of people whom it is not an obligation to pray janazah over them, but it is permitted, are the shuhada, those who are martyred fighting jihad in the way of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as is narrated by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu in Sunan Abi Dawud and At-Tirmidhi, that in the Battle of Uhud, a number of companions, they were martyred and they passed away. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did not pray the janazah over the martyrs. And also in the Battle of Badr, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, also the other battles in which the companions fought and they were martyred, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't pray the janazah over the martyrs. Rather, he would not wash them, and neither would he perfume them, and neither would he shroud them. Rather, they were buried in their clothing and in their blood without a janazah. At the same time, we find certain instances in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did pray the janazah over the martyrs. So for example, he prayed the janazah over Hamza radiallahu anhu. And he also prayed the janazah over Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu. So this shows us that although it's not an obligation for us to pray janazah over a martyr, however, it is something which is recommended. And the death of Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu and how he died is an amazing story. And this story has been narrated by a companion called Shiddad ibn al-Had. He narrated how Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu, how he accepted Islam and how he was martyred. And the hadith is mentioned in Nasa'i and Bayhaqi and other than them. Shiddad ibn al-Had, he narrates, أن أعرابي جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that a Bedouin, an old Arab, he came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in order to ask him about Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he taught him the basic tenets of al-Islam. فَآمَنَ بِهِ وَاتَّبَعَهُ. So he believed in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he accepted Islam, and he followed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then Abdullah ibn Jahsh, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, أُهَاجِرُ مَعَكْ. Can I make the hijrah with you to Medina? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he permitted Abdullah ibn Jahsh to migrate with him to Al-Madinah, Al-Madinah al-Nabawiyyah. فَأَوْسَى أَصْحَابَهُ بِهِ. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he advised his companions to take care of Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu. And then when one day, when the companions, when they were living in Medina, there was a battle. And a number of companions, they took part in this battle. Amongst those companions who took part in this battle was Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Muslim army, they were victorious over the non-Muslims. And they defeated them and they gained war booty. A lot of wealth they gathered when they defeated the enemies and the non-Muslims in this war. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he then divided and distributed this ghanima, this war booty amongst the companions. Whoever took part in this war, then he would receive a section of this or a portion of the war booty. And for every companion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he reserved a share of the war booty. And when the companions would come, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would give them some of this wealth or some of this war booty which the Muslims had gained. However, Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu, he was still far away because he was still guarding the Muslims. He was still standing in his military position, guarding over the Muslims. When Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu returned to the Muslims, the companions, they gave him his share of the war booty. And Abdullah radiallahu anhu said to the companions, "Ma hadha, what is this? What is this that you are giving me?" And the companion said, "Hadhihi ghanimatun qassamaha an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." That this is the war booty which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has divided, and this is your share of the war booty which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has reserved for you. So Abdullah ibn Jahsh, when he saw this war booty, he took it. فَجَاءَ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And then he came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he said to him, "Ya Rasulallah, مَا هَذَا, O Messenger of Allah, what is this? What is this wealth, this war booty that you have given me?" The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "قِسْمَةٌ قَسَّمْتُهَا لَكَ." That this is your portion, your share of the war booty, which I've reserved for you. And Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu said, "لَيْسَ مَا عَلَى هَذَا اتَّبَعْتُكَ." That it isn't for this, this isn't the reason for which I believed in you. This isn't the reason for which I followed you, O Messenger of Allah. Meaning that I didn't believe in you and I didn't follow you in order to gain this war booty. And then he said, وَلَكِنِّي اتَّبَعْتُكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ أُرْمَى هَاهُنَا. However, I believed in you and I followed you, so I be shot here. فَأَشَارَ إِلَىٰ حَلْقِهِ. And then he pointed towards his neck, or he pointed towards his throat. فأموت. And then I die because of being shot over here. فأدخل جنة. And then I enter into Jannah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said his famous statement, إن تستقي الله يستقوك. If you are truthful to Allah, if you are true to Allah, then Allah will be truthful to you. Allah will be true to you. ثم لبثوا قليلا. And then they remained for a while. Then after a few days, there was another war. And the Muslims, they took part in this war. Amongst the Muslims who took part in this war was Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu. However, in this war, he was martyred and he was killed. And his body was carried to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His body was carried to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw him, he said to the companions, "Ahu ahu, is this Abdullah ibn Jahsh, is this him?" And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw him, he saw that an arrow had hit him in the place where he pointed to. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Sadaq Allah fa sadaqahu Allah." That he was truthful to Allah, and therefore Allah was truthful to him. فَكَفَّنَهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي جُبِّهِ. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he shrouded the body of Abdullah ibn Jahsh in his own clothing. وَقَدَّمَهُ. And then he brought him forward. فَصَلَّى عَلَيْهِ. And then he prayed janazah over the body of Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu. And from the du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made for Abdullah ibn Jahsh, he said, Allahumma innahu abduk. O Allah, this was your slave, your worshipper. Kharaja muhajiran. And he left Mecca as a muhajir. Wa qutila shahidan. And he died as a martyr. Wa ana shahidun ala dhalik. And I am a witness over this. So the point here is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he prayed the janazah over Abdullah ibn Jahsh. Sadaqallah fa sadaqahullah. He was truthful to Allah, and therefore Allah was truthful to him. And Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Quran regarding the companions, من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما أحد الله ما أحد الله عليه. That from amongst the believers, either companions, are men who have been truthful to the promise that they made to Allah. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْضَهُ. So amongst them are those people who have already passed away. They have been truthful to their word, and they have tasted martyrdom, and they have passed away. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. And amongst them are those who are still waiting. مَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. And they did not change at all. So these were the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sadaqu fa sadaqahu Allah. They were truthful to Allah, and therefore Allah was truthful to them. And for this reason, from the aqeed of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, from our creed and our belief, is speaking well of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is from our aqeedah, from our belief. Anybody who speaks against even a single companion, then this person is not from Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. And he's not upon the aqeed of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned him in the Quran. مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ. From amongst the believers are those men who have been truthful in that which they have promised to Allah. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْضَهُ. Amongst them are those who have already tasted their martyrdom. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. And amongst them are those who are still waiting. مَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. And they did not change at all. And Allah Azza wa Jal said regarding them, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. That Allah is pleased regarding them, and they are pleased with Allah. From the aqeed of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah is as respecting and loving and honoring the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alayhim ridwanullah. And from the aqeed of the Rawafid, from the Shia, is that they insult and they curse the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is their aqeedah, that you cannot be a Rafidi, you cannot be a Shi'i, unless you insult and curse the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not just any companion or the normal companions, rather the best of the companions. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, wa Umar radiallahu anhu, wa Uthman radiallahu anhu, wa Ummul Mu'min Aisha radiallahu anha, akhzahumullah. We mentioned the next issue, which is regarding praying the janazah over a Muslim who was sinful, a Muslim who was a sinner, or a Muslim who was an innovator from Ahlul Bid'ah, from the people of innovation. Should we pray the janazah over such a person? Previously we mentioned how it is an obligation to pray the janazah over every single Muslim, righteous or disobedient, whether he was from Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah or whether his aqeedah was other than Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. He had innovations with him and some deviations. We find that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in some ahadith, he did not pray the janazah over certain groups of Muslims. So for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't pray the janazah over al-ghamidiyah, the woman who was killed or who died committing zina and she was stoned to death. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did not pray over the janazah over that person called Ma'iz. And this person was also somebody who committed adultery, and then he was stoned to death and he died, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did not pray janazah over him. Also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't pray janazah over a person who had a debt upon him and he was careless about his debt and he did not use to repay his debt. Also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in another hadith, he did not pray the janazah over a person who committed suicide. In another instance, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not pray the janazah over a person who had illegally taken something from the war booty without seeking permission. So in certain instances, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't used to pray the janazah prayer. At the same time, he used to encourage the other Muslims to pray the janazah prayer over these people. From this, the fuqaha rahimahullah, they have derived a ruling that if a person dies and he becomes known for being a sinner, he's done something which is very bad, for example, if somebody commits suicide, then all of the Muslims should pray upon such a person. However, perhaps the imam or maybe a scholar, for example, or a person who is standing amongst a community, he should not pray the janazah over such a person. And this is just to show the rest of the Muslims the severity of the sin which he committed. So although the other Muslims should pray over him, maybe the imam or the scholar or somebody has a standing of authority over such a person or in society, they should not pray the janazah prayer. In order to show the rest of the Muslims that this act, whether it is suicide or whether it is adultery or whether it is something major, that this is a major sin and that they should be careful of it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a person would die, he used to ask the companions. He used to say, did this person die with a debt upon him? And if the companion said that yes, he died with a debt upon him, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not pray upon such a person. And if the person did not have a debt upon him, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pray over him. However, there's an important point that we have to note, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to do this action in a time and in a place where sins were very, very little. There was only little amount of sins. There were very few people who used to sin. And therefore such a person was the exception. It was very rare for a person to die like this. But nowadays, when we're living in a place and a time where many of the Muslims are sinful and many of the Muslims are dying in debt or with mortgages, and many Muslims are dying and their aqidah is not correct, then in this situation, perhaps it is better that the large majority of the Muslims, they pray upon such a person, and perhaps even the imam prays upon such a person. And maybe if there's a great scholar, then he doesn't pray upon this type of person. Because if we were to take this ruling and we were to say that don't pray upon the major sinners or those who die in debt, then there would be very few Muslims upon who we pray upon because of the situation that we live in. So this is from the fiqh or the intelligence of implementing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the same time, even if you don't pray the janazah over such a person, it's still recommended for you to make dua for him in private. So in secrecy, you still make dua for him, you still ask Allah to forgive him, but perhaps you don't pray the janazah prayer in front of everybody. With regards to the disbelievers, then I have mentioned that it is not permitted for us to pray the janazah prayer over a non-Muslim. Even if that non-Muslim was your father, your mother, your wife, a child, then as long as that person dies as a non-Muslim and you're sure that he or she has died as a non-Muslim, then you do not pray the janazah prayer over them. And Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Quran, وَمَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, that it is not permitted for the Prophet and those who have believed, أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى, that they should seek forgiveness for the people of shirk even if they are their closest relatives. So therefore it's not permitted for a person to pray the janazah over a non-Muslim. With regards to a munafiq, and the meaning of munafiq in English is translated as being a hypocrite. However, when we talk about a munafiq in Islam, it is somebody who yudhir al-Islam wa yubtin al-kufr. Somebody who shows his Islam, but inside him he hides his disbelief. And as long as a person is like this, then we can only go by that which is apparent. So if we see that this person on the apparent is a Muslim, then we pray over this person. Even if he is a hypocrite, and inside him he is concealing and hiding disbelief and hypocrisy. If, however, his hypocrisy then becomes clear through his statements and through his actions, and it becomes clear that this is a person who is just showing Islam, but in reality he is a disbeliever and a munafiq, then in this situation the person is not prayed over. And the Prophet ﷺ, in instances, he used to pray over the munafiqeen. In fact, the munafiq Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the Prophet ﷺ, when this person passed away and he was a munafiq, and he was known to be a munafiq, but he used to just show his Islam, when he passed away, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed over him. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "O Messenger of Allah, are you going to pray the janazah over this person? And he's been saying such and such, and doing such and such actions." And Allah said in the Quran, "Istaghfir lahum, aw la tastaghfir lahum." Ask forgiveness for them, or do not ask forgiveness for them. إِن تَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً فَلَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ. Even if you would seek forgiveness for these people 70 times, then Allah will not forgive them. Are you going to pray the janazah over this person? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied to Umar. He said, أَخِّرْ عَنِّي يَا عُمَرْ. Leave me alone, O Umar. إِنِّي قَدْ خُيِّرْتُ فَاخْتَرْتُ. In this ayah, Allah has given me a choice. تَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ أَوْ لَا تَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. Seek forgiveness for them or do not seek forgiveness for them. Allah has given me a choice to either pray over them or not pray over them. وَلَوْ أَعْلَمُ أَنِّي زِدْتُ عَلَى السَّبْعِينَ. And if I was to know that if I made istighfar for such a person more than 70 times, that this seeking of forgiveness would be accepted for such a person, لَزِدْتُ عَلَيْهِ. Then I would seek forgiveness even more than this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was a prophet of mercy, even though this person was a hypocrite and he was known to harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through his statements and through his actions, because Allah azza wa jal gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a choice, tastaghfir lahum aw la tastaghfir lahum, seek forgiveness for him or don't seek forgiveness for him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose to pray janazah over him and chose to seek forgiveness for him. However, afterwards, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prayed janazah over him, then Allah azza wa jal revealed the ayah, wala tusalli ala ahadin minhum mata abada, that do not pray the janazah prayer over any one of them who has passed away. Wala taqum ala qabrihi, and do not stand over his grave. Innahum kafaru billahi wa rasuli, because they have disbelieved in Allah and his messenger. And this is one of those instances in which an ayah was revealed because of Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu said something, and because of this Allah azza wa jal, he revealed an ayah. When Umar radiallahu anhu came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said to him, "Why are you praying over him? This person, he does such an action, says such a statement," and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam chose still to pray over him, then Allah azza wa jal revealed this ayah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is an important point, even though these people, they were hypocrites, yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would often pray over them. And also in certain instances, even though one of the hypocrites who was showing his Islam to the people, they would say something against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the companions would say, "Idrib unuqahu," let's strike the neck of such a person. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would not do so. Why? He would say that he doesn't want the people to think anna Muhammadan yaqtulu ashaba, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's killing his companions. The point here is that in certain instances, even though it was justified to kill these hypocrites and such people, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do so because he did not want to corrupt the image of Islam. And now take this ruling to the time that we're living in, and that which we are seeing in certain countries such as Iraq and Sham, in which those people, they are corrupting the image of Islam through not only barbarically killing innocent non-Muslims who have gone over to Iraq or have gone over to Sham to help the refugees as nurses, to give aid, but they're also torturing and killing and as you saw only a few days ago, burning alive a Muslim soldier. Burning them alive, putting them into a cage, locking the cage away, and then setting them upon fire and making a video out of this and justifying it Islamically. And then after that person has passed away, then running a tractor or something over the body of the deceased. So we see the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he would not kill the hypocrites who were known to be hypocrites, and they were harming the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did not kill them because he didn't want the people to think that Muhammad is killing the people of Islam, and that the image of Islam becomes corrupt. And then we have these people today, the Khawarij of this era, who are barbaric, and they kill Muslims, and they also kill non-Muslims, and they do not care at all about the image of Islam. So these people are doing these actions, even though they call it jihad. You have to know that these actions are not from jihad, and they are not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With regards to the disbelievers, and we'll end with this point inshallah, the famous story of Abu Talib is well known to you. Abu Talib was the beloved uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, he remained as a disbeliever, as a kafir. And when all of the Quraysh and all of the Arabs were against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet and his companions were weak and poor, and they had no power, Abu Talib, as a disbeliever, he used to protect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he used to protect the Muslims. And the non-Muslims, the Quraysh, they weren't able to harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of Abu Talib protecting the Prophet and protecting the Muslims. And therefore Abu Talib was somebody who was very dear to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also dear to the Muslims at that time. Number one, because he was the beloved uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he looked after him and he brought him up. And after this, because he defended the Prophet and he also defended the Muslim. And when Abu Talib was upon his deathbed and he was sitting with some of his friends, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to him and he said, "Ya Am, O my beloved uncle, innaka a'zam an-nas alayya haqqan, that your right over me, it is the greatest from all of the people and all of the rights of the people. Your right over me, O my beloved uncle Abu Talib, it is the greatest upon me. Wa ahsanuhum indi yadan, and you are the one who is most favorable and better to me than anybody else. Wala anta a'zamu alayya haqqan min walidayya, and you have a greater right upon me than even my own two parents. Qul la ilaha illallah, O my uncle, say la ilaha illallah, kalimatan uhaju biha laka indallah, a word, a statement. If you say it, if you just say la ilaha illallah, then I will take your case to Allah Azza wa Jal." And then around Abu Talib were other people, Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah, Abu Jahl, and some of the other leaders of the Quraysh. They were sitting there, and they said to Abu Talib, "Atarghabu an millati Abdul Muttalib?" That now, are you going to turn away from the religion of your forefather Abdul Muttalib? All your life you have lived upon the religion of Abdul Muttalib, i.e. upon disbelief and upon ash-shirk. Now in this instance, are you going to corrupt your honor and you're going to turn away from the religion of your forefather? And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came again and he repeated to him, "Ya am qul la ilaha illallah, O my uncle, say la ilaha illallah, kalimatan ashhadu laka biha indallah, a word, if you say it, then I will be a witness in front of Allah for you." And the people who were sitting around Abu Talib, they said again, "Atarghabu an millati Abdul Muttalib?" Are you going to turn away from the religion of your forefather Abdul Muttalib? فَكَانَ آخِرُ مَا قَالْ هُوَ عَلَى مِلَّةِ عَبْدُ الْمُطَّلِبِ. And then the last words that Abu Talib said is that he is upon the way of Abdul Muttalib, meaning he died as a disbeliever, and therefore he entered into the fire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw that his beloved uncle remained upon disbelief, he said, أما والله لا أستغفرن لك ما لم أنها عنك. He said, by Allah, I will continue seeking forgiveness for you as long as Allah does not prohibit me from doing so. And here Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed the ayah, مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا لِقُرْبَى. That it is not permitted for the Prophet and those who have believed to seek forgiveness for the mushrikeen, even if they are the closest to him in relation. And so he died as a disbeliever. And here Allah Azza wa Jalla said, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. That you, O Muhammad, you do not guide whoever you want, whoever you love. Rather, Allah guides whoever He loves and however He wants. And there's numerous benefits in this story. One of the benefits is that guidance is with Allah Azza wa Jal. Not with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And not with any other wali, only with Allah Azza wa Jal. Because had true guidance been in the hands of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then Abu Talib would have accepted Islam. But Allah said to him, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْ. You, O Muhammad, you do not guide whoever you love. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. However, Allah guides whoever He wills. From the benefits of this event, of this hadith, is that Abu Talib, who was supporting and helping and aiding the Prophet ﷺ, he died as a disbeliever. And one of the people who were there, Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah, and he was an enemy to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is one who used to encourage Abu Talib to remain upon kufr. He said to him, "Atarghabu an millati Abdul Muttalib?" Are you going to turn away from the religion of your forefather Abdul Muttalib? He then died upon Islam. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he guided Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah, and he was an enemy to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he discouraged Abu Talib to accept Islam. He guided him to Islam, and yet the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was an aider of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he died upon disbelief. And also, Abu Talib, he was known for him for supporting Islam. And he used to say verses of poetry in aid of the Prophet and in aid of al-Islam. He said, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدًا. Indeed, I know that the religion of Muhammad, مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ. It is from the best of the religions which exist. لَوْلَ الْمُلَامَةَ وَحِذَارَ مَسَبَّةٍ أَلَا وَجَدْتَنِي سَمْحًا بِذَاكَ أَمِينًا. If it was not for me fearing the blame of the people or fearing the insult of the people, then you will find me accepting and tolerant and believing in this faith. So even though Abu Talib, inside him, in his heart, he believed and he knew with certainty that the religion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the truth, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling the truth, but because he did not pronounce or say the shahada upon his tongue, he did not enter into Islam. And for this reason, one of the conditions of a person accepting Islam, that he has to say upon his tongue, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah." He has to say upon his tongue that I testify there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, unless he is forced or prevented or not able to do so. And look here, Abu Talib, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدًا. لَقَدْ, in Arabic it means indeed and verily, i.e. with certainty, عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدًا. I know with absolute certainty that the religion of Muhammad, مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ. It is from the best of the religions that exist. But لَوْلَ الْمُلَامَةَ وَحِذَارَ مَسَبَّةٍ. If it was not for the fear of the blame of the people, and if it was not for the fear of the insult of the people, then you would find me accepting it as a religion. And also he said in another piece of poetry, he said, وَاللَّهِ لَنْ يَصِلُوا إِلَيْكَ بِجَمْعِهِمْ. He said, by Allah, they will never reach you even in the great numbers. This was in the lifetime of Abu Talib and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when all of the Quraysh were against him and Abu Talib was protecting him after the virtue of Allah. He said, وَاللَّهِ لَنْ يَصِلُوا إِلَيْكَ بِجَمْعِهِمْ. By Allah, they will never reach you in all of their numbers. حَتَّى أُغِيبَ فِي التُّرَابِ دَفِينَ. Until I am buried beneath the earth. Meaning, until I am living, then I will protect you so your enemies, they never reach you. فَاصْدَعْ بِأَمْرِكَ مَا عَلَيْكَ عَضَاذَةً. So carry on in your mission, there is no fear upon you. وَبْشِرْ بِذَاكَ وَقُرْ عَنْكَ عَيْنًا. And have glad tidings and be happy with this, that you carry on in giving or conveying the message whilst I am alive. وَدَعَوْتَنِي وَزَعَمْتَ أَنَّكَ نَاصِحِي. And you called me, you gave me da'wah, and you claim that you are a sincere advisor to me. فَلَقَدْ صَدَقْتَ وَكُنْتَ قَبْلَ أَمِينًا. And indeed you were truthful. Indeed you were truthful, and even before your message you were al-Amin. You were the trustworthy one. دعوتني وزعمت أنك ناصحي. You called me to Islam, and you used to claim that you are somebody who is sincerely advising me. فَلَقَدْ صَدَقْتَ وَكُنْتَ قَبْلَ أَمِينًا. And indeed you were truthful in your sincere advice to me, and even before this you were trustworthy. وَعَرَضْتَ دِينًا قَدْ عَرَفْتُ بِأَنَّهُ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينًا. And you showed me a religion, and indeed I know that this religion is from the best of the religions. And then he said, لَوْلَ الْمُلَامَةَ وَحِذَارَ مَسَبَّةٍ. And if it was not for the fear of the insult of the people, the blame of the people and the insults, لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمْحًا بِذَاكَ أَمِينًا. This shows, or the point here is that this shows that guidance is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. Where a person is born, the family that a person comes from, whether he was born in the family of Ahl Hadith, or in a Salafi family, or whether he was born from amongst the Arabs, even if he was born in Mecca, inside the area of the Haram, next to the Kaaba, then this does not mean, or this does not show his guidance. And Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu, he used to say, إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لَا تُقَدِّسُ أَحَدًا. That the land does not purify anybody. وَلَكِنْ تُقَدِّسُهُ أَعْمَالُهُ. However, his actions honor him. The land that you are born in, or the family that you come from, or the jama'ah that you're following, this isn't where your honor is. Rather, your actions, you practicing Islam, you holding firm to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is where the true honor is. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, man batta amaluhu lan yusri' nasabahu aw kama qal. He said that whoever's actions slow him down, then his lineage and his family will not quicken him. If your actions, and you're not practicing Islam properly, and you're not upon the sunnah, if this is holding you back, then because you're from a particular family or a particular jama'ah, or you pray in a particular masjid, then this won't take you closer towards Jannah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us sincerity in our speech and in our actions. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us beneficial knowledge and righteous beneficial actions, and to give us provisions which are halal. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه. اللهم أرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. والله أعلم. وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.